Hello, everybody. I'm Bob Davis, and with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and our very special guest, John Lynch, this is Basic Gospel. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen today and enjoy Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and John Lynch, welcome to Basic Gospel today. We're glad to have you with us.
Bob, I'm honored, as always. This is always a great treat for me. I feel like I get to be myself, maybe too much, on your show. So that's just a delight.
Well, that's what we love. That's why we invite you on, for you to be yourself. You have so much deep within your heart that God's grace has molded and shaped, and you're one of the most free people I've ever talked to, and can express that and share that. And fascinating to hear. And to hear some of the thoughts that you have about this relationship with God. And that's why, you know, I wanted you to join us for our Stand 2014 conference. And we've been talking about that on the air. And to our listeners, I think after today's broadcast, you will want to register for this conference and to come hear John Lynch alone. He is quite a communicator of the original good news. And that's what you call it, isn't it?
That's right. That's right. And you do too. I cannot wait for this conference, Bob. I think partly because it's not just going to be us giving messages, and there will be that, but it's more we're going to be hanging out together. We're going to have forums, and we're going to have times where we're just asking questions and eating together and staying up late. And well, for me, that's like 8:30, but still. I cannot wait for that. I just feel like it's going to be a great time for us to interact and process these truths of our identity in Christ. This has been the conference of the year for me.
Well, I think it's going to be the conference of the year, and we certainly encourage our listeners to register to come join us in June 19th through the 21st, right here in Plano, Texas, just a little ways from where our offices are, at a fabulous venue called the Hope Center. And all the information is available on a website, stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. Go browse around, find out all the details, and then click the Register Now button and come join us. We would love to see you. Mm. John knows a lot of celebrities. He'll drop those names, and you can be, you know, just wowed and dazzled by that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did I mention I shook hands with Dan Blocker, who was Hoss on Bonanza?
You did.
Just one of the many people I've met.
So if you come and shake John's hand, that's the hand that shook Dan Blocker's hand.
Absolutely.
And boy,
one degree of separation right
that's
there.
That's right. Yeah. Something magical will happen in that handshake, I'm sure.
A promise to you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, John, this month, you know, in light of, you know, the Resurrection Sunday, this Sunday, we've been talking about the resurrection. We had Lee Strobel on, and we talked to him about his personal investigation of the evidence that Jesus Christ was actually raised from the dead, and that was wonderful. And then we made a switch to personal implications. What does the resurrection mean to us? And so I throw that question out to you, John, in your life personally. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to you?
Wow. Well, thank you. So we've got like 11 hours for the broadcast. Okay, just wanted to make sure. Well, first of all, let me say that it's changed. When I first came to know him, within a short period of time, I was so grateful for forgiveness of sins and getting to go to heaven. And I still saw myself as this saved sinner who was deeply grateful that God would keep forgiving my sins and that I would get to go to heaven. But I didn't know all of the implications of what he did at the cross, and I didn't believe it yet. I still saw myself as if you listen to a lot of the music that's out there, a lot of conferences I've been going to, it's still that I'm a bad person, God's a great God, and I fail all the time, and that's the way it's always going to be. And the implications of the resurrection that I've been learning in the last 15 years have been astonishing to me. So as wonderful as eternity, how can I even talk about that? There are present implications of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that overwhelm me now that I'm starting to believe them. One, a new shame-free identity, that on the cross he bore my shame, the shame story that drove John Lynch all those years. He said, I have taken on and borne it, and it is no longer your identity. I took care of it at the cross, and when I was raised from the dead, that shame-free identity, or that shame identity, no longer defines you, John. And when I believe that, it changes everything for me. So that when I think about it, it makes me weep. When I think about, I'm not seen that way in heaven. And he says, John, it's not true about you anymore. It's not just that I wish it wasn't true about you. It's not that we're going to act like it's not true. You are not seen through that shame lens anymore. And that is astonishing to this man who lived out of his shame for so long. Yeah. So I, every single day, I glorify Christ that that's true. And then I think about the reality that I can constantly be clean before God and not carry around a sense of not being enough or guilty or stained, that the power of the cross and the resurrection, all I have to do is enter into that moment and say, your shed blood purchased for me right now. I'm counting on it to make me clean. And God says, kid, you are. You actually are. So I rejoice over that. I one of the greatest things that I'm getting in touch with in the last few years is the great gift of being able to not just love God, but to be able to receive his love. That is another gift of the resurrection, is that I can actually experience that statement that he makes, that Jesus makes, to the exact degree that my Father loves me, so also I love you, John Lynch. Well, and when go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, without the resurrection, I mean, we normally start this program with a statement like this, you know, here's the good news, Jesus Christ is alive. And without that being true, there's no love being poured out on us in
absolutely.
Christ. And that's what you're
absolutely.
Saying there, isn't it?
Absolutely. And not only that, but that bait and switch is over now. That bait and switch that says, here's the good news of Christ, you're freed, you're a Christian now, you're saved for eternity. And then in 2 weeks we say, get to work now, you're going to be miserable for a long time. No, that's not true anymore. Because of the resurrection, the same grace that saved me is the same grace that I get to live out of. And I'm not this saved sinner who has a bent to do wrong, but I'm a brand new creature fused with Jesus Christ who longs to obey from the heart. And when I trust that the resurrection actually had that power, I live out of it. And I actually get to love more, be loved more, and sin less. So that's an astonishing reality for me.
Well, it is astonishing. And how did the switch happen in your understanding and mind? I mean, you lived it with an attitude that you're just this sinner, and you know, you had shame and you were stained and all of those things, and you were just hoping that God would see you a little differently, and you were doing everything.
Yeah.
What made the switch for you? Did you just come to the end of yourself, or what happened?
I wish I even knew what that meant, coming to the end of myself, because I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know what that means either, but it's a phrase we've used, isn't
sounded
it?
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think I went to a really good seminary and went in with innocence and really a sense of freedom. And I came out really feeling like I wanted to be the one who loved Jesus more, and I would prove it. I would prove myself worthy of his love. And I did the bait and switch to myself. I really did. And I thought that that's what God wanted. I thought he wanted me to constantly say, I haven't done enough yet, but you watch me. I'm going to be more sold out. I'm going to care more. You watch me. I'm going to love better. I'm going to sin less. And God was saying, John, stop it. It's okay now. I have you completely in control. You are my responsibility. I know how to mature you from the inside out in my time and in my way. And if you will just trust me with that, if you will trust the power of the resurrection and the Holy Spirit living in you, John, you'll be right on time. And you don't have to strain. You don't have to perform. You don't have to bluff. You don't have to act like you're better than who you are. And the beauty of that is, somewhere along the line, I think, honestly, I stepped into a community that was living that way. And they kind of convinced me, hey, this whole fake piety deal, buddy, it's not working. none of us are buying it. Very impressive messages, don't get us wrong, but we're not buying it.
Yeah.
And they kind of gradually let me know that the culture that I was in was not a performing culture, but a trusting culture. And eventually, watching them live it out, and that's why I believe it's so imperative that we're developing environments of grace, because there's John Lynch's out there who just, there's something about me as an old athlete and jock who just thought, well, you just work harder. You just grind it out harder, and eventually you'll become a little bit better and a little closer to God and a little less displeasing to God. And so I had to have an environment that convinced me, John, you're safe, kid. It really is still good news.
Well, one of the things that you said that caught my attention is the fact that you did this to yourself.
That's right.
You developed the philosophy to do better, try harder. And my story was basically, I want to be God's guy. I'm supposed to be God's guy. That's what,
Wasn't it Moody who said that we have not yet seen the man totally sold out to God? I was saying, I'm that guy.
Be that guy.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and it's our pride that responds to that, and so we say, we can do it. And so what I've said is that we're all natural-born legalists. I mean, we just come into the world that way,
right,
with this bent,
right,
of I can do it, I can be God's guy, just watch my spoke type of thing. And I know we're very quick to blame teaching. And yes, there's a lot of bad teaching out there.
That's well said.
Bob, that's well said. But it ultimately gets down to us, and I think
I don't need any bad teaching to give myself the bait and switch.
That's exactly right. Like I said, if you just found yourself on an island, you just appeared there, nobody else was there, you kind of looked around and figured out, well, there's got to be a God, and you've have this fear inside of you, you're going to come up with some religion. I mean, you're going to circle the coconut tree three times and hope that's going to be good enough just because you're a natural-born legalist.
But sometimes bad
teaching reinforces that and compels us down that path even further. But I think when change occurs is when we stop blaming teachers and outside sources and say it's our problem, it's my problem, it's something deep within me. And when I realize that there's something deep within me that's wrong, then there's only one place to go to fix that, and that's to Jesus Christ himself. And I think that's when grace really hits our hearts and makes its mark in our lives.
Look at you being all wise and everything. Golly.
Oh, we get him every day.
That's so spot on. Hey, folks, he's going to be at the conference. I'm going to be there for comic relief. I'll be doing funny things. I think I'm as funny as Bob, but you're going to get that at the conference, I'm telling you. I think there is a whole group of people, jaded, cynical, and down on the church, and yes, there's a lot of teachers to be down on. But you're absolutely right. If we could come back to realize nobody did this to me, I did this to myself. That's when Jesus becomes, oh, you have to be real because I can't do this anymore. It's killing me.
Yeah, because if it's not my problem, somebody else is inflicting this on me, then all I need Jesus for is to fix those people out there. You know, and I miss grace, I miss life, I miss forgiveness, I miss all of those things that the gospel has provided for me. And I still struggle with the fact that it's not really good news.
Absolutely. And you say we're natural born Pharisees. I think we're also natural born narcissists, where I so want to be loved, I will put on a mask of who I think it is you need me to be great enough so that you'll love me. And only the gospel of Christ says, John, oh, kid, I made you. I wanted there to be a John Lynch on this planet at this time. I'm exactly delighted with who you are. With all your idiosyncrasies, with all your weirdness and goofiness, you are who I wanted here now. And when I can trust that, I no longer have to present myself as someone who I'm not. Because, as we've said before, when I wear that mask, only my mask gets loved. And so that freedom of the resurrection, to be able to believe, really? John Lynch has worth. I'm not just one of the masses that you died for, but uniquely and specifically, you picked a John Lynch and a Bob Christopher, and you said, hey, you're plenty enough, kid. And I'm going to show you off to the world, and there's a lot of people who are going to get to love you and receive my love through you. That's freedom. That's freedom. I'm no longer having to dance. It's one of the reasons I love being on the show, because I absolutely am convinced that you cats go, hey, he's a mess, but he's fun. We enjoy this guy.
That's right.
Right. When you are in a culture like that, it allows you to be creative, alive, and you get to give the very best of yourself to that community.
That's what Christianity is all about. That's why Christ did what he did and dying for us to take away our sins. That's why he was buried, to say, hey, we're putting an end to that old way of doing things. And that's why he was raised to life, so that we could be raised to live in a newness of life, a way that enables us to be exactly who God created us to be. Richard has a great definition of grace that he learned from a pastor in years back, and I think it's exactly, it describes exactly what you're talking about. Richard, share that with us.
Yeah, I learned this from a guy named James Ryle. Grace is the empowering presence of God, enabling me to be who he has called me to be and to do what he has called me to do.
That's freedom.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It really is. Well, and speaking of grace, I was telling you before the broadcast, as I've listened to the messages that you've given and shared, and as I've read some of your books, a verse just keeps coming to mind that describes you and what you're all about, and that's Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, you just see that in you. I mean, you know that you're okay with God. You're on the same page.
Yes. Yes.
And because of that, it says, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Grace is more than that door that grants us entry into the house. It's how we live in the house.
And absolutely.
And that's what you talk about so much. And tell us a little bit about that. What does that mean to you, and how do you communicate that?
Well, thank you. Just first, thank you for saying that, because that, even though I'm, if you hung out with me on an everyday basis, you'd say, he's a mess. But I do believe those verses. In fact, that very Romans 5 passage is my lifeline. And along with that that verse in Acts 20:32 that says, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which alone is able to build you up." That grace, even in Romans 6:14, when he says, sin's not going to be master over you because you're no longer under law. You're no longer under moralism or buck-upism. You're under grace. And that there's to be able to see grace not as something to be afraid of that we would take advantage of if we got too much of it. So instead, we've got to use it as a condiment like paprika and instead use moralism or something. But to believe that there's power in grace, that if I depend upon my identity and I refuse to go back to trying to prove, then I will be free indeed. When he says in Galatians, it is the most astounding statement. You want to say, how did that get in the Bible? It was for freedom that you were set free. It was so that you could live a life that was infectious and contagious and a blast, and nothing was secular and sacred. Everything bore the marks of Christ, and your life got to be lived out in such a way that was playful and alive and free and full of compassion and joy, that you were living life in the moment in real time. And that's what grace offers. And when I finally trusted, you mean that limb will hold? You mean I really can live out of who Christ says I am, and that's enough? Oh, my. Not knowing all along that would empower the actual strength of the resurrection to be lived out in me, and that anything else would be sin management. Anything else would be John Lynch without Christ fused with him, trying to somehow prove that he was enough to be worthy of Christ's love. So somehow in a culture, I got to believe that. And for the most part, I'm getting to live that and go find people. I was just with some folks up in Denver at a church, and I got to hug hundreds and hundreds of people who are starting to discover and risk this for themselves, and they can't stop hugging you because they think you're the one who told them, and you're not. You're just a messenger of the original good news. All of us are, but more and more of us are finding each other, and when you're around them, they're a delight to be around because they're real. They're authentic. They're not rehearsed. They're not trying to make appropriate statements. They're just fun. And and you know they're safe. You know you could tell them the worst about you, and they would actually love you more for it.
They actually believe that God loves them. I mean, they actually believe that. That's
absolutely.
That's where this gospel message eventually lands us, at that place, and that's where freedom really is. Well, John, thank you for being with us today.
Yes,
boy,
indeed.
This time flew by, and for our listeners, as I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, John Lynch joins us for our Stand 2014 conference, and I know just based on this, you'll want to be there to hear him, to meet him, to, you know, enjoy this grace together with him. So come be a part of that. We would love to have you. Andrew Farley joins us as well, myself. We're going to have some great music, great time of fellowship and interaction, and just enjoying the fellowship that we have in the love and grace of Christ Jesus. So, John, thank you for being with us today, my friend.
Guys, my friend, if nothing else, I am the fastest eater of food that I know.
I love that.
It would be be worth the price of admission just to watch that. You guys, I love being with you. Can't wait to be on with you next time. And to all the listeners, come hang out with us in Plano.
Absolutely. John, thank you so much. And friends, for information on that upcoming Bible conference, visit the website stand2014.com. All the information and registration opportunities are right there. That's coming up June 19th through the 21st, right here in the Dallas area. For all the information, again, available at stand2014.com. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, for the ministry team, and our very special guest and dear friend in Christ, John Lynch. This is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.